Isn't it great to start a new year in church? Amongst the people of God, in the kingdom of God, the church that belongs to God, the universal church of which we are a part of. It's great to have you here this morning. It's great to see you in a new year. And I know this time of year is a time of great celebration of time past, but also of great expectation for the year to come. It's a new beginning. For many, it's an opportunity to set goals, to commit ourselves to things that will improve life, that will improve our pursuit of life, that will lead to greater fulfillment in life. For others, it's a time of hope, of looking at the past and stretching out to the future, of hoping for peace, for life, for greater life. You know, the amazing thing is, Christ said that He came not only to give life, but life in abundance. And I think our greatest aim and greatest goal is to find Christ, more than it is to find life. Because ironically, in finding Christ, we will find life, but not just life, life in abundance. Christ even said that if we lose our life, we will find it. And so many people try to pursue life and miss Christ and never find that fulfillment in life. And I want to share a little bit around fulfillment. I've spent many precious hours with people talking about fulfillment in life. Some seeking it, others having it, and some wanting more of it. And sometimes it is in a negative sense, people that feel that life and circumstances is just too great to bear, and that they have lost hope and even purpose. Some struggle to find their identity in this life. They feel they are so different in this life, they do not fit in. And I can see how that struggle of finding who they are in the midst of the world and amidst others rob them from the fulfillment that God has for them. And then you find those who've actually embraced what God has for them through Christ and live in this abundant fulfillment. And I want to share a little bit around that, because you know what? Christ came to set us free so that we can be uniquely who He created us to be, so that we can worship Him uniquely in who He created us to be. And you know that famous saying that God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in Him. And I want to add to that. I want to say God is most glorified when we are satisfied in Him uniquely as He made us, as He created us to be. Because in this life, there is so much pressure to conform, to be like other people, or to be like someone else. And I want to address that, because in my own journey of life, I've come to realize that fulfillment is closely linked to purpose. Fulfillment in life is closely linked to purpose in life. And purpose is closely linked to identity. And I want to start backwards and move from identity through purpose to fulfillment. So if you would bear with me this morning, I want us to look at it. You know, identity is all about what makes you, you. You know, we are all different. I don't know if you've noticed. You know, there are different people in this very room. Maybe you should turn to somebody and look in their eyes and just pause for a moment. I know sometimes it's very uncomfortable. But you know what? Identity is all about what makes you, you. And in case you have not yet discovered, you are completely different to the person next to you, especially if she's your wife. Okay, but I want you to turn to somebody next to you, look them in the eye, pause for a moment, and say, you are different. You are unique. Can you do that? It's sometimes uncomfortable, but you know, it's so true. You are completely unique. There is no other person in the earth that is like you. And you know, identity is something that I have realized that the devil attacks purposefully, because he knows identity is so much linked to purpose. You know, what makes you, you will also determine your function. You know what? This hammer is completely different to the spanner. They are uniquely different. And in that uniqueness, there is also a specific purpose. The hammer cannot do what the spanner does. It cannot. I don't know if you've tried that before. Sometimes when you struggle with something mechanical, when this does not work, you resolve to this. Okay? But most of the time, that leads to disaster. Okay? But we are uniquely different because our purpose is uniquely different. And you know what's so interesting? Fulfillment is only found when we start to function in our purpose. Because when this hammer tries to be a spanner, he never has fulfillment because he never succeeds. Because he was not designed to do like the spanner. And it is so obvious and natural, but you know what? In life, I find that so many people struggle with their identity, with who they are. Even in my own life, I struggled with identity. I allowed others to define who I was. I wanted to be what other people wanted me to be. Under the peer pressure and the image that the world portrays. And because I tried to be something I was not, it led to depression in my life. Because I didn't find my own identity, and that depression led to suicide. And I wanted to commit suicide, and you know, ultimately, suicide by God's grace led to my salvation. I'm one of those people that was saved from death by God. I was at the brink of death because I could not find my identity. That led to depression. And ultimately to the point of taking my life because my life had no purpose. It had no fulfillment because I couldn't find my identity. And it is in that place where God reached out to me and ultimately saved my life. So in my journey of identity, purpose, and fulfillment, I met God, and I gained all three. Through my encounter with God and my relationship with Him, I found my identity, I found my purpose, and so too my fulfillment in life. And I want to share these few steps with you. It is amazing to see how many people struggle with who they are, mostly because we compare ourselves to other people. We try to be like other people. We are constantly comparing ourselves to other people. You know, we are a hammer and they are all spanners. And they are good at something and I'm not. And I want to be like they are. You know, that's life for many of us. Since early days of life, we have this environment in which we compare ourselves to others. Sometimes it's good. Competition is not always a bad thing in sport. But you know what? In life, it can be quite destructive. We constantly see if we can be better at shifting bolts than the next person, even though we're a hammer. I don't know if you've experienced that in life, but I see it all the time. And then the world is also constantly portraying an image of what is success. And what is attractiveness? And what is beauty? The world has a specific image of how everyone should be. Have you noticed that? What is attractiveness? What is beauty? What does the world say is attractiveness and beauty in a woman? You know what? It portrays a picture and everybody tries to match that picture. The world has a picture of success and everybody tries to conform to that picture. And even the famous, those who in the eyes of the world have achieved the perfect beauty and the perfect success, they're hardly ever fulfilled. I mean, you have magazines in the UK where I spent 7 years. You have magazines following the lifestyles of stars and celebrities. And they're full of drama. They are always divorced, unhappy, fighting, and the whole thing. And it is so fascinating to see that those who the world says have achieved what is beauty and success hardly ever seem to have fulfillment in life. So there's a lot of pressure to conform to being something else. But you know what? God has purposefully made every single human being uniquely different. God made us purposefully uniquely different for a reason. Each one of us is an original. There is no other person designed like you. Just like a snowflake. No snowflake is ever the same as any other snowflake. I don't know if you knew that. But no snowflake is ever the same. In the same way, no human is the same. God created each and every human differently. You are a one-of-a-kind original. You are the original you. There is nobody like you. Now, if God in His wisdom created you uniquely different to everybody else around you, why do you want to become like someone else? Why this pressure? God has placed deep within you special gifts, talents, passions, and a distinct personality that makes you uniquely you. And you know what? God loves that. God loves the way He made you. After all, He's the one who designed you. He's the one who chose those gifts, those talents, those personalities, those preferences within you. He is the one that made you not just outwardly differently, but inwardly different. And He not only created you unique, He knows you uniquely. I mean, that's the fascinating thing, you know. Every human being has different fingerprints. Our eyes are different. You know, those what do you call it, scans that they scan your eyes with? Retinal scans. The way you walk, there's technology now that they can identify people by the way. Now, for me, it's very simple, you know. I walk like a duck. My friends, seriously, I lived at the beach, and they used to track me by my footsteps because I walk like a duck. They could actually follow me around. Everybody walks uniquely. Even a walk, for the human eye, sometimes hard to detect, but for technology today, they can identify people by the way they walk. God made us uniquely different. Not only to be different, but He also knows us uniquely. You know, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says that I knew you before you were formed. God intimately knew us before we were formed. He knew exactly how we're going to be different. He knew exactly what He's going to place within us that will make us unique. Even here in the well-known Psalm, Psalm 139, it says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. God not only created you uniquely, He knows you uniquely. And He loves you. He loves it. He loves every bit about what He created within you. And you know what? The fact that God knows me uniquely is what saved my life. The very fact that I realized at that moment of death, of committing suicide, when God intervened and spoke to me as an individual and said, Andries, stop. I love you. And in my debate with God, but how can you love me and allow me to live a life that has no purpose, no meaning, and no fulfillment? Everything around me is so unbearable that I have lost the passion of life. And God said, no, I have already died for you so that you can have life. You know, that changed my life in that encounter with God. Because all of a sudden I realized that God did not just send Christ to save the world. He sent Christ to save me. Where I was at, in my brokenness, in my shame, in my sin, God knew me. And He cared enough about me to intervene where I was at. And that's the amazing God that we serve. He made us uniquely. He knows us uniquely. And He loves us. God loves you because He made you you. He made you. He made you with all your different giftings and talents and abilities. And He made it different to the next guy. And He placed it all in a nice place box. And He said, "That's you. This is great." So you are different. You are meant to be different. God wants you to be yourself and not somebody else. That's one thing that I discovered in my life. God wants me to be myself and not somebody else. Because He's made me in a specific way. Being yourself is the first step of fulfillment. I'll say it again. Being yourself is the first step to fulfillment. There is so many people in this life that I spend time with that are not fulfilled in life because they're trying to be someone else. Even this holiday, we were on the summer camp with the youth. And we were sharing about relationships. And one of the questions that we got on the panel was, I can't remember the exact question, but it came down to, what must I do to be noticed by somebody that I like? What must I do to be seen, to be noticed by somebody like? And my response was, be yourself. Be yourself. Because if you try to be somebody else to be loved, you will always have to be somebody else. And you will never be yourself and you will never be fulfilled. Because you'll constantly try to be somebody else. You need to be yourself and you need somebody who loves you for who you are. And not for who they want you to be. Because if you constantly try to be somebody else, you will never be fulfilled in life. So be yourself. You know, it's interesting, people that do what they love are the most fulfilled people. I don't know if you've noticed, you know, if you're a hammer and you are able to hit nails, people who are made in a particular way and do the things that they really love, they tend to be the most fulfilled people in life. You find many people that do stuff that they do not like. And interestingly enough, you find even people who do stuff that they do not like doing, but they are still fulfilled. Because they managed, in the midst of what they do, to be themselves in what they do. So I want to say it's not so much doing, but it's more about being. Because God made you in a particular way, and He wants you to live in a particular way. For some, they are fortunate that they can actually do the very things that they love doing. And you find in the natural there's fulfillment in it. But you know what is so amazing? You can even do the things that you really love doing. If you're not yourself in doing that, you will never be fulfilled. And then you find people doing stuff that they not necessarily want to do, but you know what? They're fulfilled in life because they manage to be themselves in what they do. So God wants you to be who you are. But there is fine print, I must add to this, before you get too excited. The fine print is, I'm not talking about your selfishness and your sin. Okay, the only person we're meant to be conformed to is Christ. And in our relationship with Him, we will conform to Him, and you know what? He will sort out the character flaws that was caused by sin and harm and selfishness. So I'm not saying you must remain selfish. I'm not saying you must remain sinful. I'm saying you must remain true to who God made you to be. And in our process of following Christ, you know, He'll sort out the stuff that was caused by sin and harm in our life. But God wants you to be uniquely you. Because after He has transformed you, you will still be uniquely you. You'll still be a person different to the rest. with a different personality and giftings. And you know what? There's a purpose behind it. I'm belaboring the point, but you're getting the message. There is a purpose behind being uniquely you. And we find that in the beginning. You know, God created man with a purpose. God created man with a purpose. And He created us to have a relationship, to be in relationship with Him. Relationship is one purpose that God created humanity for. Relationship. The other purpose is to be in His image. And then another purpose is to have dominion. Now, we all know the creation story. But for me, that's the three areas that's so important to understand about our purpose universally. We were created for relationship. We were created to be like God, to conform to His image. And we were created to have dominion. There was purpose in our creation. Now, keeping in mind, just like tools, you will never be fulfilled unless you actually live your purpose. God created us with a purpose, and we will never be fulfilled unless we live that purpose. And that's why you will find people struggle with all various different kinds, but you can always relate it back to these three, I believe. It is when we find and we live our purpose in our uniqueness that we are most fulfilled. It is when we live our purpose in our uniqueness that we are most fulfilled. The way God created us. Let's start here with relationship. You know, it's interesting in Genesis 1 verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over all the cattle and over all the creeping, or all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Now, so interesting, before creation, before the beginning of time, God existed eternally as a relational being. Three personalities blended in perfect harmony together, the Trinity. God existed as a relational being. And when He created us, He gave us the ability to have a relationship with another being. That's part of being in His image. We have been given the relational DNA, the capacity to have a relationship with another being besides ourselves. Fulfillment is ultimately found in a relationship with God and with others. I mean, it is so obvious, but it is interesting that fulfillment is ultimately found in our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Because that's the way God created us. God created us specifically to have relationship. You can ask any married man. Fulfillment in marriage is never found outside of relationship. And I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about companionship. I mean, marriage is about sharing life together, loving each other for who they are, through a relationship. If you take the relationship out, there's no fulfillment in marriage. And God created us with a relational capacity, with a purpose to have a relationship with Him, but also with others. Without that relationship with God, you know what? That purpose is not fulfilled, and fulfillment will never be found. That's why the world, in all its pursuits, in all its fame and riches and beauty, are never fulfilled. Because they lack the primary purpose of relationship with God. But you know what? It's not just relationship with God. It's also relationship with others besides ourselves. It's very interesting that God did not just create us to have a relationship with Him. He created us to have a relationship with others also. You know, remember here in Genesis 2 verse 18, after God created everything and He said everything was good, He said there's one thing that's not good. In the midst of this perfect creation, Adam living in perfect harmony relationship with God, being the friend of God, God said, you know what? Adam, there is something here that is not good. It's not good, Adam, that you are alone. So God did something very interesting. Even though Adam had God as his friend and the unsurpassable beauty of his environment to enjoy, there was something missing. It's not good that you should be alone, Adam. And God was about to add another dimension to Adam's life, a human relationship. God said, it's not good for you to only have a relationship with me, Adam. I'm going to add something to your life, a woman. Now, how do they change our lives? Like my wife says, she's the fun, joy, and excitement in life. And how true is that also? But God created us, and he wanted us to have a relationship, not just with him, but also with others that reflect our relationship with him. God purposefully created another human being so that Adam's relationship with God can be reflected in his relationship with Eve. And we will never have fulfillment unless we have relationship with God and with others. It's so interesting to understand and remember that. And in my own life, you know what, as a young Christian, when I got saved, I had an awesome relationship with God, but you know what, I excluded myself from everybody around me. I was a loner. I lived my life outside of the world. I didn't want to associate with my peers anymore. I wanted to have a relationship with God and live my life independently of the rest of the world. And as I grew in my relationship with God, God started to speak to me about the world, about the people around me. And all of a sudden, I started to realize, but God not only wants me to love him, he wants me to love the things that he loves. And he loves people. I mean, that is the great commandment. Remember, you must love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And equal to this, to the same measure, the same authority is you must love your neighbor as yourself. God does not just want us to love him. He wants us to love the things that he loves. He wants us to love people. So God started this work in me, and as my relationship grew with him, so I started to relate to others the way he relates to me. You know, we read of this in 1 John 4, verse 16 to 17. It says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put in our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Further on, he says, no one can say he loves God and hates his brother because he's a liar. Because who can say he loves God and hates his brother? Then he does not know God. So God has given us this capacity, this purpose within us to love him and to love others also. Fulfillment is ultimately found in our relationship with God and others. If you want to be fulfilled in life, you need to have a relationship with God and you need to have a relationship with others. My question this morning, in this new year, when we make commitments and goals, who are the relationships in your life? Who are the people that God has placed around you? In our pursuit for fulfillment and happiness and abundance, let us commit ourselves to pursue God, which is very obvious as Christians, but let us also commit ourselves to pursue the relationships around us. So my question this morning, and I'm going to give you a moment just to reflect on that, who are the relationships in your life? And are you willing to commit yourself to pursue them? To love them for who they are, different to yourself. So many times we try to change people. That creates a lot of conflict. And we forget that God loves us the way we are. He's given us everything while we were still imperfect. And he is the one that is changing us. And so many times in our relationships, we want to change the other person. You know what? You cannot change anybody. Only God can. We can love them, and God will change them. But that's what relationship is all about. It is to actually communicate the love that God has given to us in the same way He's given to others. That's why Jesus said, you know, in that great and awesome teaching on the mountain, when His disciples asked Him, how should He pray? And He gave the Lord's Prayer. And then He said at the end, you know what? If you do not forgive others as you are forgiven, if you do not forgive in the same way, if you don't relate to others in the same way God relates to you, you won't continue to relate to you in the same way. So if you are not able to forgive others in the same way God forgives you, He won't forgive you either. In our relationships with one another, we need to deal with one another the way God deals with us. So many times, I sometimes counsel with stubborn people. You know what? You have stubborn people in church sometimes. You're not here tonight, so that's all right. I can say that. But you know, so many times you come to a point where you're so frustrated, then I must just stop and remind myself, you know what? How must God feel about me? Because I must frustrate Him constantly. And yet He's merciful, yet He's gracious, yet He is patient, yet He is loving. And because I understand how He loves me, I can then do the same. So I want to encourage you this morning, as you think about the relationships in your life, fulfillment will be found through your loving them in the same way God loves you. And see how it changes your life. Commit yourself to love them for who they are. You know, I believe that if self is our primary focus of fulfillment, we will never be fulfilled. If self is our primary purpose of living, you will never be fulfilled. That's the story of life. God did not create us to love ourselves. He created us to love Him and others. So pursue that. We are most fulfilled in giving to God and to others. Isn't that amazing? I've discovered in my own life, I'm most fulfilled when I give to God and to others. Even though the great things that I want to do, I have many times the opportunity to do, they don't give me as much fulfillment as when I give to God and to others. Whether it's of my time, of my resources, of my abilities, but when I give to others and God, I am more fulfilled than when I spend it on myself. You know, God made you a special, one-of-a-kind person by giving you various skills and talents. He's also placed within you a personal preferences and a distinct personality that makes you a one-of-a-kind individual, a person designed to do things in ways only you can do. In relationship and in function, you have the capacity to love somebody in a way only you can. And God wants to encourage us to do that. But you know what? That goes for every person, if you think about it. Whether they're saved or not, God has made us all uniquely and given us unique abilities to do things in unique ways in the natural dimension. But then there's also the supernatural dimension, the eternal dimension. As Christians, you know what is so amazing? Not only did God create us uniquely, He gave us His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit has given us gifts uniquely. And you know what? The natural and the eternal, they overlap. They're not one and the other. It's not the state and the church. You know, in eternity, it's, you know, they work together. They overlap. God has given us in the natural unique gifts, but you know what? In the Spirit, He's also given us unique gifts. Isn't that amazing? He's given us unique gifts for exactly the same reason. Because He has made us unique and He's given us a unique purpose. We all know that the temporal world is distorted by sin, controlled by Satan and his principalities. And I want to come to the next purpose. God has created us to have dominion. If relationship is one of our purposes in which we can find fulfillment, you know what? The other purpose for which God created us is to have dominion. And in this sinful temporal world that is controlled by Satan and his principalities, you know what? Christ came into this world, the Son of God. And He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is drawn near. I have come to establish the eternal amongst the temporal. And then he started to teach about this eternal dimension that came to invade the temporal. He started to say, but you know what? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It starts very small in this temporal domain, but then it grows. Then later on he said, you know what? I will build my church. In this temporal world, I will establish my kingdom. And it will advance. It will overcome this world, and not even the gates of hell will be able to stop it. Because you know what? We were created, not just for relationship, we were created to overcome. We were created to have dominion. We were given access into the eternal realm because that is for what God created us. To be sons and daughters of God, to rule and reign with Him in eternity, and to take what is ours. But more than that, to pursue what is God's. And fulfillment is found when we start to operate in our purpose. And God has given each one of us uniquely different gifts so that we can fulfill our purpose. And that is to advance His kingdom. So many Christians live only to find satisfaction and fulfillment in this temporal life. Sadly, it's all about me, myself, and I. My purpose, my calling, my destiny, my prosperity, my house, my family, my cars. And even Christians miss fulfillment because you know what? God created us to be overcomers in this world, to take hold of the kingdom of God and to advance it. Because we were created to do that. That's what the letters to the churches are. You can read those six letters to the six churches in Revelation. It's all about overcoming. Because we were created to overcome, and God has given us supernatural abilities so that we can enter into the eternal realm, not just the temporal, but into the eternal purposes of God with the gifts and abilities that He chose to give to each one of us, uniquely different to everybody else, so that we can overcome. So that we can actually be fulfilled in the purpose for which He created us. It's interesting that He gave us different gifts. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6, it says onwards, God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help one another. It is the one and the only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. And He alone decides which gift each person should have. Why? Because we are meant to work together. God purposefully made all of us different here so that we can all work together. In the same way, relationally and individually, you're not meant to be like somebody else. Nobody is meant to be under pressure to be like anybody else except Christ. Okay, you're not meant to be like the teacher or you're meant to be like the evangelist. You're meant to be with what God has given you, which is different to me. And God has given each one of us here different gifts for the very purpose that we should work together. We must work together to see His kingdom advance, His church advance. Here in Romans 12 it says, For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another so that we can advance His kingdom. True fulfillment is only found in our relationship with God and with others and through pursuing His purposes. I've discovered that in my life. I've discovered in my life, you know what? Knowing God and others has given me a lot of fulfillment. And then, when I started to pursue God's kingdom and God's purposes, you know what? Another dimension of fulfillment came to become a reality in my life. And I've realized, you know what? Our fulfillment is not just one or the other. It's not just loving God. It's loving people also. And it's not just loving people, it's also pursuing the purposes of God. And just like He's given me unique natural abilities, He's given me unique spiritual abilities. He's made me uniquely different to the person next to me so that we can together pursue the kingdom of God. And maybe in this year to come, I want to encourage you, you know what? You were created to overcome. Overcome not just in your life, but to overcome in the kingdom of God. That is what we were created for. And I want to encourage you as you commit yourself to goals. I want to ask you this question this morning. Where in your life do you have the platform to exercise the spiritual gifts that God has given uniquely to you? What are the gifts that God has given you uniquely? And where is this platform where you are exercising that gift together with others to see His kingdom come? I want to give you an opportunity to think about that for a moment. You know what? Because as you choose this year to make a goal, to pursue God, to pursue others, and to pursue His purposes, ask God to show you if you do not know what is your gifts. And ask God to show you where you can actually operate in those gifts. Because you know what? That is what the church is about. And I know there's many visitors here, and I'm specifically saying that to you also. That as you go back to your church, to your congregations, that you will ask God not just to show you your gift, but to ask God to show you where you should actively live out those gifts, in whichever way He chooses to use you, because He's made you uniquely you. A church is not perfect, and it will never be. But we will never function as we meant to, unless every person actually takes up his position and lives that. And you know what? The moment you do, there is a fulfillment in your life that surpasses everything else the world can give. When you have this relationship with God and you pursue His purposes in the lives of other people. And great will be your fulfillment. And I want to ask you this morning, as we make these goals, as we set these commitments for life, let us ask God to come and work in us in these three areas. Being yourself. That God will set you free from all the pressures and all the perceptions that might inhibit you of being you. Because God has made you uniquely you, and He wants to relate to you uniquely as He created you. But then also to commit ourselves to pursue a relationship with God and with others around us. And then thirdly, to commit ourselves to pursue His purposes through the gifts that He has given us uniquely. And for some of us, it might mean that we must first find out from God, what is this spiritual gifts that You have given me? And what is the purpose that You have for me in Your kingdom? Not just in this life, God, but in Your kingdom. And God, I want to commit myself to pursue those purposes. And in those three things, you will have fulfillment in life. You will discover what it means when Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus had this passion not just in His relationship with God, but also in His pursuit for God's purposes. And I want to encourage you with that as we stand. Father, I want to thank You for Your life for us. God, I want to thank You that You've given us not just physical life, but God, You've given us eternal life through Your Son, Jesus Christ. That You've come to redeem us from eternal death so that we may have eternal life. And God, even in this life, God, that is in this transition between the temporal and the eternity, God, You have given us the privilege to know You, to come into a relationship with You, God, that we can love You. That we have been given the ability, God, to relate to you, that you can open our eyes that we may see and understand how much you love us. God, and I want to pray this morning, God, that you will help us, God, to see who you made us to be, and that we may glorify you the way you made us to be. Not as someone else, but as the person you made us to be. God, and I want to pray, Father, that you will give us the ability not just to grow closer to you, God. Father, but I pray that you will also, God, give us the ability to relate to others around us in the same way you relate to us. That we can be love to them as you are love to us. God, I pray that you will give us the capacity to love people for who they are and not try to change them, but to ask you to do the changing and us to do the loving. God, and I pray that in the same way as you have given us unique abilities and talents and personalities and preferences, God, I thank you that you also said, God, that you have given us spiritual gifts for eternal purposes beyond this life. To see your kingdom come, Lord, to see it overcome. God, and I pray that you will show each one of us the unique gifts that you have given us within your kingdom, Lord, and the place that is prepared for us in every church, in every congregation, in every family that you chose to place us in. God, I pray that your people, your children, God, will rise up in the gifts and the abilities, God, like a young child with a hidden gift for music. God, that is forced to run on a track. God, I pray, Lord, I come against that pressure in Jesus' name, God. And I pray, Lord, that the musicians will rise up in this place, God. That the dancers, God, and the preachers, Lord, and the servants, and the givers, Lord, and those who have hospitality, God, I pray, Lord, for your gifts to come alive in your church. God, that your church may worship you the way you created it to be. God, I want to pray for each and every person, God, that is struggling with their own identity, who are struggling to know who they are in this world. Amidst the pressure of life and peers, God, I just pray, God, that you will set them free from the chains that keeps them from being them. If that is you, if God has been speaking to you about your identity, I just want you to respond to God and ask Him to set you free by just raising your hand. If that is you, if God is speaking to you about your identity, about who He's made you to be in the midst of this world, even in the midst of the church, I just want you to respond by raising your hand. And I know there's some people here today. You are struggling with relationships. Maybe you are struggling with a relationship with God. Maybe you are backslidden. Maybe your relationship has grown cold with God. God is calling you. God is calling you today to come back to Him. In this new year, a new beginning, a new start. If that is you, I just want you to respond to God. Say, God, here I am, God. I want to return to you, God. I want to follow you, God. I want to come back to that place of my first love, the way I pursued you in the beginning. If that is you, I just also want you just to respond by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am, God. I want to return to you. And maybe there are people here this morning, God has been speaking to you about your relationships around you. The people that God has placed in your life. And maybe you are struggling in those relationships. Maybe you are struggling to love. Maybe you're struggling to give. Maybe you're struggling to forgive. If that is you, I just want you to respond also to God just by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am, God. I pray that you will help me, God. That you will help me with the relationships in my life, God. That you will give me the wisdom, God. The ability, God, to love and to give, God. The way you love and give me, God. I pray that you'll help me to forgive. In Jesus' name. And then there are some people here today. I know God is saying He wants you to awake to the fact that He has given you spiritual gifts. That He's given you a purpose within the church. Within His kingdom. And He wants you to arise. To awaken those gifts in you. That you'll start to function in the purpose He's placed you in the church that you're in. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand. If you are not sure about the place, or maybe you know your giftings, but you have not been functioning, I just want you to respond to God. Say, God, here I am, God. I want to be released, God, in what you have called me to do. Father, I want to pray for all these hands that has been raised, God. All these hearts, God. Just raise your hands if that is you, or any of those three. God, I'm not going to call you forward this morning. I'm just going to pray for you as you're here. Father, I want to thank you, God. I want to thank you for these hearts, God. I want to thank you for these people that you have uniquely made, God. And you know them uniquely, God. You are excited and passionate about their lives, God. You're excited about every step that they take towards you, God, because you want to bless them, God, with eternal fulfillment in this life, God. I want to pray for every person, God, that is struggling here with fulfillment in their life. God, I pray that you will bless them as they pursue their purpose, as they are themselves. In Jesus' name, God, I'm going to pray, Lord, for identity to be established, God. Lord, I'm going to break any chains that holds people and pressurize them to conform in Jesus' name, Lord. I want to pray, Lord, for relationships, Lord. I want to pray for those who are returning to you today, God, to pursue you again with all their heart and all their strength and all their soul. God, I pray that you will bless them with your presence, with your word, God, with your comfort every day when they come to you, Lord. And I want to pray for those who are struggling with relationship, God, relationship around them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will give them the supernatural ability to love. God, I pray for restoration in relationships in Jesus' name, God. I pray, Lord, for people to humble themselves. To humble themselves and go and make restitution, God. Not to change, but simply to love, God. Children to turn to their parents and love them for who they are. And parents to turn to their children and love them for who they are. God, I pray that you will come and bring reconciliation in relationships, God. All over this place, God. And I want to pray, Lord, for those, God, who needs to rise up, God. That they will be bold, God. Not just to pursue the gift that you've given them, but to pursue the purpose in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. God, I pray that this year, 2012, will be a year of great fulfillment as we live the purpose that you have given us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May you have a fulfilled, abundant 2012. As you pursue God, a relationship with Him, a relationship with others, and His purposes. And you will know what that fulfillment is. In Jesus' name. Thank you. May God bless you. If you're in need of prayer, if you still feel you want me to pray for you or anybody else, please feel free. I'll remain here for a while. You're more than welcome, but otherwise, may God bless you. Our time is up. Thank you for coming. Have a great holiday if you're still on one. If you're going back to work, pursue His purposes. Be yourself in the midst of your circumstances. And ask God to help you to do that. And you will find your fulfillment. Amen. I'm going to stop, otherwise you're going to stand here until 2013. Amen.